Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to all the listeners out there on Blog Talk Radio. You're listening to Fight Words Radio Show on Blog Talk Worldwide. Bob Carroll here, and I'm joined by my co-host, who's actually right here with me. I'm actually on location today, Butch. Butch, how are you?
I'm doing good, Bob. How about you?
Not too bad. Not too bad. You know, of course, Fight Words works very closely with another show on the Blog Talk family, On the Grind, which is here heard right here from 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock every Thursday and Saturday night. We are, of course, sponsored by Dr. Casey Carroll, the best psychiatrist at the Bloomingdale Psychiatry Associates. And I just want to put that she's my sister. We're not under the care of a psychiatric. She's, just the sponsor of the show, Butch.
Questionable. Questionable.
You know, we could be. Yeah, we could be. But, Butch, I'm going to let you do. You do much, much better on this. So,
Dr. Carroll provides services for psychiatric services from the womb to the tomb. She does pediatric to the geriatric area. She also specializes in sports medicine for psychiatry, including bulimia, and enable you to get to the next level from whatever sport that you're in. If there is a mental block, she's able to help you work through that. Of course, Casey is a triathlete, has been on the U.S. triathlon team, has gone to Luzerne, has gone to the Ironman many times, and has won the St. Anthony's Triathlon here in Florida many times. So she knows what she's doing when it comes to sports medicine, and training. She also provides a show in grateful appreciation to all the men and women of the United States Armed Services who serve to keep us free, because freedom is not free. Yeah, Bob.
Thank you. Of course, the show is caller-driven, so if you have any questions, give us a call at 347-202-0832. And during the second half of the show, we'll be speaking to middleweight contender Peter Quillin about his career and his upcoming fight on February 6th. We were supposed to have him last week, but something happened with the phone lines that we had a problem with. So we want to start tonight's show on a bit of a sad note. As a longtime listener of the show and a person that Butch and I considered part of our family, has passed away. Bob Condra, who is the father of a great friend of the show, Steve Condra, passed away this week in Georgia. This is a huge shock to both Butch and I and our entire family, and I can't begin to tell the Condra family how sorry we are for their loss. I can tell you that the sun shone less brighter, the birds didn't sing quite as cheerful, and the moon has gained a bright star with his passing. For those of you who do not know Bob Condra, he was a man with a very unique sense of humor, a very caring man who helped keep his family together after the sudden loss of his wife and their mother some years back. Bob never missed a beat when it came to working, putting in all the hours that he could to keep his family going. A funny story I can tell you is when he worked for Days Inn, and I'd gone up some years back to Orlando and stayed at one of the Days Inn up there, and I never told him, and I wound up paying full price. And when I got back, Butch, I got a phone call from Bob screaming at me. He's like, "What's wrong with you? I could have got you that room for nothing. Why didn't you tell me?" Then he said, "Next time you better let me know, or else I'm going to call up there to the front desk and tell them to recharge your credit card for double." So,
but, I have a story also about him. We were talking one day. He used to drive a milk truck.
Right.
And he was driving through a very bad part of Palmetto, and he heard a gunshot. Well, the gunshot, the shell casing ended up in the back seat of his car. I said, well, what did you do, Bob? He says, are you kidding me? 2 o'clock in the morning, I just kept on going. What a nice guy.
He was. He was a very nice guy. And
huge hands, as I remember.
Yeah, yeah. Last time I saw him, he was at Steve and Lori Condra's wedding. And when we were lining up for the wedding party photos, Bob was yelling that they'd better take the picture before the camera breaks. So always had a very good sense of humor, always kidding. And he was a very kind man with a great sense of humor. He was a tremendous father to his children, Steve, Robin, Cynthia, and Robert, and a great grandfather to his grandkids and a great husband. Butch and I are honored to have known him, and I can say that my life is that much better for having known him. Our sincere sympathies go out to the entire Condra family, and you are all in our prayers, and we would like to say goodbye to Bob with the song that the family picked out and wants to dedicate to him. So from the Condra family, this song is dedicated to Bob Condra.
Down to Georgia, he was looking for a soul to steal. He was in a bind because he was way behind and he was willing to make a deal. When he came across this young man sawing on a fiddle and playing it hot, and the devil jumped up on a hickory stump and said, boy, let me tell you what, I guess you didn't know it, but I'm a fiddle player too, and if you'd care to take a dare, I'll make a bet with you. Now you play pretty good fiddle, boy, but give the devil his due. I bet a fiddle of gold against your soul because I think I'm better than you. The boy said, my name's Johnny, and it might be a sin, but I'll take your bet and you're gonna regret, cause I'm the best as ever been. Johnny, you're offing up your bow and play your fiddle hard, cause hell broke loose in Georgia and the devil deals in cards. And if you win, you get this shiny fiddle made of gold, but if you lose, the devil gets your soul. Up his case and he said, I'll start this show, and fire flew from his fingertips as he rosined up his bow, and he pulled the bow across the strings and it made an evil hiss, and then a band of demons joined in and it sounded something like this. Johnny said, well, you're pretty good, old son, but sit down in that chair right there and let me show you how it's done.
Fire on the mountain, run, boys, run. The devil's in the house of the rising sun. Kicking in the bread pan, picking out dough. Granny, let your dog bite, no child, no.
The devil bowed his head because he knew that he'd been beat, and he laid that golden fiddle on the ground at Johnny's feet. Johnny said, devil, just come on back if you ever want to try again. I done told you once, you son of a bitch, I'm the best as ever been. He played,
found a mountain, run, boys, run. Devil's in the house of the rising sun. The chicken in the bread pan, I'm picking out dough. Granny, where you don't fight, no child, no.
In loving memory from the Condra family, that was requested by the Condra family for Bob and Bob Condra, and we just here at Fighting Word just want to say, you know, we're very, very sorry again for the passing, and And this show is actually dedicated in memory of Bob Condra. Very, very good man.
Yep. Good man, good friend, and like you said, good father.
Yeah.
Even when he had health problems, he still went to work every day.
Absolutely. We'll certainly miss him.
Yep.
Butch, you know, the Florida Boxing Hall of Fame class of 2010 inductees were recently, segueing into something
so good.
The Florida Boxing Hall of Fame class of 2010 inductees were just announced. This happened on Wednesday night, and there's a lot of great inductees in this class. I'll let you go through them. If you go through them, then we'll just save the last one that you and I know.
The special one?
The special one, yeah. Yep. We'll save that.
Yeah, the living inductees include former heavyweight champion Muhammad Ali, former top contender Gamero Brayman, and Frankie Otero. Women's pioneer Barbara Buttrick, trainer and manager Dan Birmingham, and Al Banani. Promoters Phil Alessi and Don King. Historian Enrique, you're going to have to help me out with that one. Enrique Russo? I'm sorry if I killed that. Ancioso. I killed that. I'm sorry, Enrique. Commissioner Don Hazelton. And for the next part,
well, you got one there that you can mention.
Jimmy Smith is a non-participating category. But the one person that we are proud to say that is a mentor of this show, a good friend, fellow broadcaster. And
a much better broadcaster.
Much better.
Than
well,
you and I.
He's had a lot more time at it.
Yeah.
And he got paid to go to school to do that. And
that's
he gets paid every day to do it.
True.
But a guy who is a giant among people. You'll see him this Friday night on ESPN Fights.
Mm-hmm.
He does a lot of local fights and fights around the world. He just got back from Dubai a little while ago, which is good because they're bankrupt now. He probably spent too much money over there.
That's what it was. His hotel bill came in, all, this, all that porn he was watching
could
on
be.
The TV.
Yep. Mr. Bob Alexander.
Very good friend of the show. We've been friends with Bob for quite some years now, and we're very, very proud. Both you and I have talked to him since the induction has been announced, and we'll be reporting from there. The induction weekend is set for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, the 25th through 27th of June, 2010, up in Tampa.
Right.
Every one of them, every one of the inductees is expected to be in attendance. Which is going to be actually going to be a lot of fun because if Muhammad Ali and Frankie Otero are to show up, I mean Don King is going to be there. Phil Alessi, of course, the promoter.
Right.
You know, he still has
his
bakery there.
Right.
He's the guy who brought a lot of major fights into before they built not the Thunderdome, but the one before the Ice Palace.
Ice Palace, yeah.
Yeah, before they bought the Ice Palace here, they had the Sun Dome,
right?
Which was the big draw down here before they built Tropicana Field or Thunderdome. And Phil Alessi used to fill those seats there,
right?
And just bringing down Tuesday night fights. He'd have fights at the Hyatt, which still they still do have fights at the Hyatt.
Yeah.
But Phil's not really a part of that anymore.
They do have a plaque there on the. That's the. And for those who don't know, the Sun Dome is at the University of South Florida, and Phil kept them alive in their very early years with bringing these fights in there and using it as a card for not only to show off the campus, but to raise funds for the Alumni Association and to keep the property going.
Yeah. Now, when I talked to Bob, I mean, I said to him, you're coming in with some pretty big names, with Don King and Frankie Otero, Muhammad Ali, Phil Alessi, Dan Birmingham, also some of the posthumous,
that's right,
inductees. One of them stands out. I mean, I know it's one of your favorite guys, Butch, Willie Pep.
Yeah.
Of course, posthumous. He passed away about a year ago.
Yeah.
But just, I mean, for Bob to be inducted, along with those names, it's that's amazing.
Sure.
I mean, the guy has done so well in his career. He's been doing it for 25 years now, I believe. 25 years. And if you remember, he told us the very first one he did was actually on a tennis court.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
They put a ring up on a couple of risers, and he announced a tennis court match.
Yeah. We had him on the show many times, and he's given us a walking, talking boxing historian.
Yeah.
I mean, he talks about the old fights that he would bring out just to prepare for it on 8mm, and
that's right.
He'd sit there and watch the films, and so he'd be ready to explain it. The one thing that you'll always know that it's Bob, and I hope to God he wears it in when he gets inducted, is his red bow tie.
Yep.
That's one thing he felt that he had to have something that stood out. He wears a very neatly tailored tuxedo and this red tie that is as bright as can be. But, behind everybody, every good man is always a good woman, and his wife is an amazing person.
Yeah, very nice lady.
Very nice lady, very, very helpful. And when we were coaching, we actually coached Bob in football. And
which he was a handful.
He was. He was. I mean, that guy, he's the most vicious man on the football field, and you walk off, you go to have a cup of coffee with him, and you wouldn't know it was the same person.
You're right.
But he actually was very, very tenacious and never gave up, and we were just proud to say that we know him.
Absolutely. So that'll be we'll be reporting from there. Probably the Friday night we'll be up there. We'll be live on Blog Talk, live from the induction ceremony on Friday night.
Right.
And then we'll have some tape of the Sunday, the actual induction of Bob Alexander, and we'll have maybe Friday night and Sunday we'll have Bob with us.
Right.
Just report on that.
Right. Well, the only problem I have is you'll be talking like you have helium because you're going to be so mentally high from seeing all these guys that I might not be able to keep you in the same room.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Yeah.
So, getting on to we've had a couple of our guests once had a fight. We have a former co-host,
right?
Adam Jaco, who last Friday night. He won a 6-round decision over Marcus Don Hall, and that was at the Hyatt Doubletree up in Tampa, Florida. Adam is now 7-3-1. He had from what I heard, he really had to kind of wrestle the guy around to get away from him. The guy kept grabbing and holding. Don Marcus Hall now drops to 11-3 with 4 knockouts, and Adam is on a 3-fight win streak. And the winner of 5 of his last 6.
Right.
Even though the one, the Robert Fratelli.
That guy was a rob job.
Yeah, that was terrible. That was a terrible decision up at the, actually right there at the Sundome.
Same place.
Yeah, it was at the Sundome.
Yeah.
So it was a very suspicious loss there. And so basically for me, it's 6. The way I look at it, he should be 8-2-1.
I talked to his very proud father yesterday, and and he told me that, when you talk to Dave Jaco, who himself was a tremendous boxer, professional boxer, he gives you blow by blow, ring by round by round, and second by second. A guy who couldn't be prouder of his two boys that are both boxers and both in professional training. And if anybody is in the Sarasota area or anybody wants to train with a good gym, they should call Adam or Aaron. And get down there to see them.
Give Aaron a call, 941-228-5147, and get into the gym. It helped both Butch and I.
Yep.
So, Butch, earlier today we had some results and one that did not come out our way. Word just into to us from Germany that unbeaten heavyweight Robert Hellenius. Impressively stepped up in class with an 8-round, what they're calling a thrashing. I didn't see the fight. And this is German. This is from Germany. Thrashing a former WBO world heavyweight champion and one of our favorite guests, Lehman Brewster. Hellenius apparently dropped Brewster in round 2 with a body shot, and then according to reports, slowly broke him down as the bout progressed. And the bout ended in round eight with Brewster taking heavy punishment at the 231 mark.
Yeah, Lehman is one of the nicest guys. But again, you know, it's in Germany. Guys go over there, and I don't know whether it's the water, the flight. You know, we know there was a couple situations where we had some people that went over there and actually lost the fight. They won the fight and ended up losing it. Two of them are one of them's the Jacos, and the other one's Stevie Cunningham.
Well, yeah. Well, Stevie lost, but Adam had a draw, a very controversial draw over there.
Right.
So, you know, I'm not sure. I talked to Benny earlier, who's real busy, and I wasn't able to make the show tonight.
Mm-hmm.
He's not real sure what's going to happen with Lehman now. Lehman drops to 35-6 with 30 knockouts. Hellenius goes to 11-0 with 7 knockouts.
Mm-hmm.
He's not real sure what's going to happen with Lehman now. And myself, I'm not real sure either. I mean, this could call an end to his career, although I don't want to see that. This could be the end of the line for Lehman. If the bout actually was like it says, and that he was just beaten, you know,
because we talked to him a couple of weeks ago, and he felt that he was in pretty good shape going over there, and had an overtrain, because that was one of the questions you did ask him,
right?
And he felt that he hadn't overtrained, we wish him all the best, and we're going to be talking to him here in a few weeks when he gets back and gets some rest, and we'll find out from the horse's mouth what he's doing.
Yeah. Well, hopefully he's doing okay. This was, you know, from what they're talking right now, this was a pretty one-sided event.
Yeah.
And Lehman, according to this report, Lehman was thrashed.
Right.
So we're hoping that that's
got to be a British writer.
Yeah, thrashed.
Yeah.
You know, you also just got a report.
Yeah, I just got a report that Sebastian Sylvester, the IBF middleweight champion, stopped Billy Lytle in the seventh round at about 15 seconds into the second to the second, seventh round. I'm sorry.
Right.
With a TKO in Nuremberg, Germany. It was probably an undercard to this one, the Brewster fight.
Actually, no. That would be the main event.
No,
the Sylvester fight. And you know, we saw Billy Lyle fight. You and I. We saw him fight up in Tampa. He took on Clarence Taylor, the kid that went to Wilmington High School.
Right.
You remember me talking to him?
Right.
He had the moniker of Sonny Bono.
Right.
And Billy Lyle actually is a very good middleweight fighter.
Mm-hmm.
But Sebastian is just at this point. Sebastian's kind of in his own world. Not what I would call the best middleweight out there,
uh-huh.
But certainly is one of the better middleweights out there. Of course, having a belt doesn't mean that you're one of the best. It just
right.
means you're in the right place at the right time.
But right.
he certainly is one of the top. I would say one of the top five middleweights right now. So the result doesn't surprise me at all.
Mm-hmm.
So
great. You know, another one of our good friends and frequent guests on the show, Yusef Mack, goes against another good friend of ours.
Yeah, very good friend.
Glenn Johnson, this Friday night. In fact, that's the one that Bob's working down at in Fort Lauderdale.
Right, right.
Yep.
Yeah, and you know, this is one of those fights that you know, I I don't want to see.
Right.
You know, I love both of these guys to death. I mean, I do some publicity for Yusef, and I've known Yusef now for, I'd say, probably close to a year.
Right.
I've known Glenn now for probably close to a year. Both of these guys are the nicest guys in the world.
Right.
But what this is going to come down to is youth against experience.
Right.
And I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen in this fight. It is the Friday before the Super Bowl,
right?
Right in the same place as the Super Bowl,
right? right.
Which is also Glenn Johnson. That's where he's from.
That's where he's from, yeah.
Glenn Johnson, of course, it's a shame that Glenn Johnson's a Miami Dolphins fan,
right.
Which, you know, you've heard him and I go back and forth on that. You know.
Well, I think the other thing is that isn't Yusuf a Cowboys fan?
Yes,
I can't believe it.
Yeah.
Two of the teams you don't like.
No, I don't.
Two of the guys that you really like.
I don't have much of a problem with.
We should get down there and beat them both up.
Yeah, well,
we're not Eagles fans.
We could. I mean, I'm sure. I mean, I know we could get down there. I know. I'll be in that area anyway, won't I?
Yeah. Yeah, you will.
Yeah, I'll be over in. Yeah.
Yes, you will.
So I can go right over. But that, you know, of course, that day is also the birthday of my very beautiful Kayla Marie.
Oh.
She'll be 11 years old on February 5th. So.
And we have to make sure that we wish her a happy birthday before we get off here.
You're right.
Yeah.
So I'll probably not. Make that fight that night. I'll watch it
unless you want to be asleep on the couch for the rest of your life.
Yeah,
in the garage.
But she'll be the one telling me that I have
to leave
her.
What I meant. That's what I meant.
Oh.
We know who the boss in your family is.
Absolutely,
yes, sir.
So you know this is a elimination bout for the IBF a chance at the IBF champion Tavares Cloud, a fight that will likely happen in May, and I'll be honest with you. I still don't know anything about Tavares Cloud.
Yeah.
I know he's the IBF champion.
Yeah.
I haven't talked to the man, so I can't really, you know, say much about it. But I just don't know the guy.
Yeah.
I've seen him fight maybe once, you know, when he won the championship.
Yeah.
Besides that, I don't know. I mean, I know he's 20-0, but I don't know the guy. So I think that either one of these guys, you know, when either one of these guys wins the fight, they got a great shot at being the next IBF champion.
Right.
And it'd be the second time for Glenn Johnson. That, of course,
right.
That was the belt that he had at one point.
Right.
Defeated when he defeated Roy Jones Jr. He took
right.
that belt. So Yusuf Mack is certainly, you know, young and fresh and ready.
Yeah.
From the streets of Philadelphia. But, you know, we'll get a little ass because he is a.
A Philly fan.
He is a no.
He's a
Dallas
Philly
fan.
No, he's a Philly
okay.
fan.
Okay. All right.
I didn't say Eagles. I said Philly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
we don't have to go for the Phillies.
No, that's true. Well, we do, but I just don't have it loaded on here. I just got a text from Mr. Stephen Condry. He wants to say thank you and Steve, it's believe me, it's our honor that we were able to put together a little something and play the song for you guys. And again, we are
and
truly
a privilege
sorry
to have known your dad.
Absolutely, absolutely. We love him to death, and he's a great guy. So, Butch,
yeah,
we're going to have in about another 8 minutes, we're going to have middleweight contender Peter Quillen joining
us. Oh boy.
Yeah, we had a little problems with the phone lines last week. Hopefully they've been cleared up. I know I had my other show last night, and I did have a few callers on that show, so it worked out well last night.
Oh, so you do one without me. Oh, okay. That's the way you want to be.
How much you know?
All
about,
I do.
How much
I
you
do
know,
for you? And
shut
you
up. How much you know about hair metal?
Hair metal?
Yeah.
Let me think now. Do I know anybody?
Who's the lead singer of Poison?
Oh,
Darren. Who's the lead singer of Poison?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Just
so no, you won't be. Mom would actually.
Well,
my
yes,
mother,
you,
Darren.
You like
Darren
her better than
actually,
me. You used
she
to
would
question her
be
every
to,
day.
She'd be actually a better co-host for that show than you would.
Yeah, well,
so.
Because you used to question her every day on the
right.
way to and from work.
Right, exactly. You know, last night, Butch, I don't know if... What'd she say? Joe Plant.
Joe Plant.
Oh,
Joe
my
Plant.
God. Yeah. Well, maybe you would
that,
be a better
co-host. That was her stock
co-host.
Answer.
Last night, Butch, I'm not sure if you got a chance to stay up a little later last night and catch the Friday Night Fights main event. It was Jesse Brinkley, who, of course, was on the Contender, part of the Contender Series. He put in a very gutsy 12-round unanimous decision over Curtis Showtime Stevens last night at the Grand Sierra Resort and Casino in Reno, Nevada. Brinkley, of course, was a hometown favorite there, but I'll tell you, Stevens came in. And he promised an early KO. He set the landed some good left hooks in round one, but Brinkley he weathered the storm and proceeded to break down Stevens. And in the sixth round, Brinkley really came on and he actually knocked Stevens down. And from that point on, there was no going back for mm-hmm. Stevens. Brinkley scored another knockdown in the 12th. It was a borderline knockdown, but he did go up against the ropes, and the referee stepped in and gave him a standing eight count. Stevens a standing eight count.
Uh-huh.
But this was a huge victory for Brinkley.
Good.
Not only being that he defeated Stevens,
right.
But just in the way he did it, in the dominating factor that he did it.
Right.
This now puts him back this was an eliminator, IBF eliminator fight. So this puts him back up against the IBF super middleweight championship fight, and that should be sometime probably. Coming up in June.
Hopefully
he'll do that. So
yeah.
Scores of that fight, and as you can tell by these scores,
yeah.
I agree with the middle score, 117-109, 118-108, which is what I had it,
right.
And 119-107. So it was just a runaway fight for Jesse Brinkley.
Yeah.
Very, very good. He looked really, really good. He was in great shape. And Stevens came in great shape, but he was just outclassed by him. So, Butch, one more thing before we head
sure.
to break here a second. I
sure.
know the big announcement that just came down.
According to a source with knowledge of the negotiations, a verbal agreement has been reached for the WBA welterweight champion Sugar Shane Mosley, 46-5-39 with 39 knockouts, to defend his belt against Floyd Mayweather Jr., 40-0 with 25 knockouts. On May 1st in Las Vegas, Nevada, Mosley Camp has apparently agreed to Mayweather's stipulation that both fighters be subjected to an additional random blood and urine test not normally required by Nevada Athletic Association. This is the same issue that torpedoed the Mayweather and Pacquiao, if you remember, Bob.
I remember.
I
Mayweather chicken out.
Yeah, I believe that's the whole thing there because we'll go from that. The winner of this fight will take on the winner of the Pacquiao Clotty, which will easily be Pacquiao.
Yeah, that certainly will be. And just so you know, that's 132 straight shows that Manny Pacquiao.
I knew that has made the show. And
so.
While we're talking about Las Vegas, Nevada, we'll talk about we could go out there and stay with Darryl now.
Oh, good.
Yep.
Good.
Because he's now the commander of the Predator project at Nellis Air Force Base, and we send our best wishes out to Colonel and Mrs. Darryl Stinger.
All right. We're going to take a short break here, and when we come back from Fighting Words, we will have middleweight contender Peter Kid Chocolate Quillen on with us. Going to the break, this is the brand new one from Danger Danger, Keep On Keeping On.
Down.
Are You? All right, that was a brand new one from Danger Danger.
Okay.
That is Keep On Keeping On. That is off the brand new Revolve CD that was just put out in September of 2009. And I got to tell you that, you know, people who know me know that I'm a huge fan of that type of music, the hair band type of rock and roll. And this album, I'll tell you, is probably the finest album that I've heard. I mean, any album out there in the last 5 years. I mean, this is unbelievable.
Okay, thank you.
And the last night I on my other show called All Hell Hair, which is available on the Fightin' Words website on Blog Talk. I had Ted Poley on the air with us, who is the lead singer of Danger Danger, and also an accomplished artist, a solo artist himself. So if you guys get a chance, make sure you get out there and get the latest from Danger Danger. You will not be disappointed. I can guarantee it. And if you are disappointed, I will tell you that Butch here will give you your money back completely.
Yeah.
So
right. You can bet on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we are waiting middleweight contender Peter Kid Chocolate Quillen, and actually right now we are joined by middleweight contender Peter Kid Chocolate Quillen. He's 20-0, 15 knockouts, and this Saturday night, February 6th, Peter steps back into the ring. It's a very strong Fernando Dunija. Peter, how are you?
I'm okay. How are you guys?
Very good. Welcome to Fightin' Words again, and you know, our listeners are very aware of you, very conscious of you. You're one of our fighters that we followed since I believe you were 8-0 the first time we had you on the air.
Yes, sir.
And you'll be the first, you know, the first world champion.
That's right.
The first person to go from being a prospect all the way up to being a world champion. So we're very, very happy to.
I want to thank y'all for like believing in me and everything.
Absolutely. We love having you. Now, this will be your first fight in about a year and a half. And we've spoken to you know, plenty of times before about the reason. But can you update our listeners to why you were forced to take some time off?
Yes, just a little bit of injuries here and there, just like freak accidents that have been happening. I had hand surgery. I got over the hand surgery and I was sparring and I had sustained a fracture in my eye, or orbital fracture in my eye. I was sparring with cruiserweight champion Guillermo Jones, and I sustained that fracture. And then I was getting ready for my December 3rd fight in New York City, and I was close to having a rupture appendix, and I had to get that removed. And you know, I guess things happen sometimes.
No, you're feeling pretty good, and everything's good to go at this point.
Yes, sir. I'm feeling strong. I'm feeling ready. I've been, you know, working really hard. I've been finished the last couple of weeks of training here in Ohio, so that's where I am right now. And I've just been, you know, feeling really strong and feeling really blessed to go ahead and February 6th to be on a big card as Thomas Adamack and Jason Estrada fight it out. I get to have my own battle of my own.
There you go. Hey, Peter, on February 6th, you're going to take that long drive across the bridge to what people up north call Newark, New Jersey, Newark, New Jersey, for those of us who are not from that area, to take on Fernando Dunija. How did this fight come about?
Well, they just called me. I really didn't know much about the guys, but I just said, let's do it. That's what, you know, you pay your team for. Hopefully putting you in the right position to, you know, get closer to what my dreams, which is to fight for a world title really soon. And I guess, you know, this is an opponent that they feel that I would really need on my record. And, hey, I'm all for it.
Yeah, we are too. And we know that, you know, we hope that all our listeners will be listening to you and watching you. And we can't say how strongly we appreciate your style of fight. You're a gentleman in and out of the ring. You've done a lot of things for a lot of people that have never been known, and that's the way you keep it. And
we're proud to say that that we're supporters of you, and we hope that we're supporters of you all the way up to the title, and be one of the biggest fights that. And I hope you are very successful in whatever you do in life.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Definitely, very much appreciate that. And I pray for that to happen for me, but also I pray that God keep me humble and that I'm able to keep coming back to you guys and keep speaking with you guys, and I don't get too big for my britches. You know, I think that's the main thing that people do lose sight of, is the people that help them get where they want to be, which can be just to be the support system, regardless if it's just like, you know, a little interview here and there that you do with people. I know, you know, during a time where you get a title shot and when you get the title actually and time get really busy for you, you should always remember the people that, you know, that was around before any other the busy things came along.
Now, how much, Zuniga is he's a veteran fighter. He's been in against, like, Charles Brewer, William Joppy. He owns an upset.
Charles Brewer.
Yes.
Right. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
What Charles Brewer is that?
The former world champion from Philadelphia.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. He, you know,
how did he go do against him?
He lost. He lost.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he's not Superman then.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
All right. So I don't really got much to worry about then. Huh?
No, believe me, we don't. I just want to see how much you know about this guy's style.
Well, I don't watch tapes on people. Because I don't want to, you know, prepare for a guy a certain way and he actually come in and fight a different fight. So what I do, I let my trainer come up and he comes up with the game plan and, you know, we work on the things that he wants me to work on. And I go up in there and try to plan and position and execute myself. But, you know, once you get in that fight, you got to be able to adjust. And I believe that's what makes, you know, a lot of boxers different. That's why I say style makes fights. Is usually a fighter always come up in there with a style that can give other boxers trouble. And what I do, I just, you know, learn how to adjust and fight the way that is going to allow me to win very big. And, like, I was scheduled to go so many rounds, and I only, you know, I'm very fortunate to not to go that many rounds, being, like, I knocked out 15 of my 20 opponents.
Yeah.
But I've been in there with, like, guys with Antoine Echols and, you know, Dinonosa Miranda just had a eliminator bout with a former Roman Karmazan. I swept him. He had I read everything on boxing, regardless if it's about the middleweight division, regardless if it's about me. And I read a writer say before the fight coming up with Roman Karmazan that some people thought that you beat Peter. I was like, what fight was he watching? I was looking all over for this guy to try to send him the scorecards on that fight, but the point of everything is, like, you know, I'm going to just adjust, you know, and do my best. I've been training hard, so it's not really about, you know, being in shape. I'm already in shape. As you can see, I'm always in the gym. I train people. I train myself. And I just know I stopped eating a lot of stuff. I've been, you know, drinking more water. I implement coconut juice instead of Gatorade now in my body, you know. I've just been trying to, you know, be the best fighter I can be. And, you know, at the end of the day, before I can let anybody down and my fans down, the only person I really, you know, can let down is myself. So as long as I do everything I need to do, then I have nothing to worry about.
Right. You know, that's so true, too, because, you know, you hear a lot of people that, you know, people be on a diet, but they sneak stuff here and there. And you just hit on a point right there. If you maybe take, you know, I don't feel like going for this run today, you're the only one that's hurting. You know, it's not hurting, you know, you know, you can't sneak away from yourself. And that's a very, very good point that you just made there.
That was just a snide remark towards me, that's all, because I'm on a diet, Peter. He's just trying to blow you up, pull me down.
Hey, stay focused with the diet, then you're going to be good, so you don't have nothing to worry about.
That's right.
That's right. Hey, Peter, who were some of the fighters that you grew up watching and admiring? And as you're going through there, the following question would be, have you taken on any other styles?
Well, I watched Floyd growing up, not only because I'm from Grand Rapids, Michigan, originally. I was raised in Grand Rapids. So what people don't know is I was born in Chicago, but all my life I was raised in Grand Rapids, Michigan. So Floyd Mayweather being a person from Michigan, Grand Rapids, it just really, like, was so amazing to me because I was like, I never thought I was going to be able to get out of a city like that and make something of myself. You know, the inner city struggles of the youth in my city is, it can get crazy at sometimes, and I had a feeling like I wasn't going to never be anything. And, you know, just seeing guys like Floyd Mayweather that made stuff happen in himself, I had to really see what was the difference of the people that stays there, that stay in the city and basically become nothing. It's the people that become nothing that want nothing for their life. And the people that want something, they actually go out and get something. So, you know, I took to that, and, you know, I moved to New York City. I've been there since I was 18 years old. And I had no family there. I still have no family there. And I got a bunch of friends that I call family there. But for the most part, I told myself where I really wanted to go in life. And, you know, I'm still on that road and that journey to get there, you know. So, like, I would say Floyd Mayweather was one of the big people that I watched. Mike Tyson, because when we was younger, you know, I was Sugar Ray Leonard. My little brother was Mike Tyson. And my older brother, he used to put us in opposite corners from each other, and we used to have to fight each other. And it went from doing that to being teenagers to putting, you know, socks inside of the socks, and those was our boxing gloves. And, you know, doing that, and that was kind of brutal. So,
yeah, I bet you was.
But, hey, you know what things kids do sometimes. So we went from that, and then went from, you know, me picking up a magazine my mom gave me one day, and, you know, knowing that we used to carry these boxing gloves, that an older guy that I knew named Rodney Jovi gave me these boxing gloves, and it's like, y'all just take them in around the neighborhood. We used to take them around the neighborhood, and I used to be pretty good. And then my mom gave me this magazine. It's like, you know, order some gloves and, you know, see what gloves you want to order, and I'll get them for Christmas for you. So I ended up getting the magazine, and I went through the list, and I seen the local gyms in my area. And I went to the local gym, and David Packer from the Michigan Golden Gloves Association allowed me to come there and train there. And, like, for the first couple of years, I didn't have to pay a membership. So, you know, I think those are the kind of people that when they believe in you, like a David Packer and, you know, like this fellow boxer I grew up with, like Reggie Nash and, like, guys named Ramon and, you know, things in that nature just had me feel like I was fueled to be somebody. And I took a liking to boxing. I never really wanted to do anything else. Though I was athletic, I could have played ball, could have played football. I could have did all that thing, and nothing caught my attention like boxing did. Made me just fall in love with it from the first time I started.
Now, February 6th, you know, certainly with the way you're going and the strong showing that you always put in for every fight, this will be another step towards a world title. Is there any time frame that you have set for yourself, or maybe your trainer or promoters have set to try and get you up into a at least an eliminator bout or?
Yes, this year I'm hoping this year I want to definitely, you know, if I was allow that to happen, I don't want to just be. I want to make sure it's a good fight for the fans. I want to make sure I'm able to get paid for it, you know, because this is my career and my livelihood. This is what I do on a daily basis to try to be the best I can be, you know? So it's not like I'm working for benefits. So at the end of the day, I would like to get paid for my time, you know? So I'm hopefully if that happens and the right kind of opportunity come along where it's good, just not for me, but for the other boxer as well, for us to, you know, make a big payday and follow behind that, maybe fight for a world title. I'm ready to do that after this fight. So I already let my you know, my trainer Ben do this. My promoter, Cedric Kushner, I know he's working in his best ability to try to get me closer to that. I'm just hoping it's sooner now than later, you know?
Right. Yeah. Peter, where do you train in New York?
I train right in the city, Trinity Boxing Club, downtown Manhattan. I work there. I also have a key to get in the gym whenever I want to. So
nice.
I think that's the best thing to ever do. So it's like I got camp always around me. You know,
right.
Like I don't have an addictive personality. The only thing I allow myself to be addicted at is boxing. You know, as far as partying and you know, going out and doing other things that I have no business doing. It really doesn't help me in boxing, so it shouldn't be addictive to me. So I don't have no problem training in the city. I don't have that many distractions. I like to get away to go to camp just for the thrill of just getting away from, you know, people and just being able to relax and rest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have a another friend that we've developed over the course of the show, Irish John Duddy, who used to train there from time to time. Now he's back down in Florida, I understand.
Yes. I think I'm going to be doing camp in Florida after this fight.
Excellent.
What part of Florida are you going to be coming down to?
I'm not even sure what part it's going to be. It may be Miami, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we're basically...
Because Guillermo Jones is going to be fighting coming up.
Yes.
And I think he's going to be fighting and he's going to be fighting there in Florida. So my trainer trains him, so I will be going down there.
Great.
Okay. We're actually based out of the Tampa area, so get up around this way. You know, give us a call and let us know.
Yeah, we need to have you come over and have dinner with us.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely would love that. I hope y'all can eat healthy then, because I would love to do that.
Well, with Butch here being on the diet, we'll certainly have to eat healthy. So.
Yep. We eat a lot of salads, a lot of chicken,
yeah,
a lot of fish. And occasionally a steak.
All right. Yeah. And we good, man. We good, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Peter, as always, we appreciate it. We love having you on the show.
All right. I love to be on.
Well, believe me, it's an honor for us. And, we wish you nothing but the best on the 6th and in the future. We're always pulling for you and praying for your safety of you and all the fighters.
Thank you.
Having you back very shortly.
Thank you. I appreciate it so much.
No problem, no problem.
You know what else? I want you to tell you guys, I got a YouTube page. It's Kid Chocolate. You put it all together, and I'm going to be updating videos. I just put a video up. Now I'm going to be putting up. You'll be able to see it in the next 10 minutes. Just me training, me being funny, me being me. And, y'all more than welcome to log on and subscribe to me and everything. Like I said, I always, you know, if y'all send me the link to the show, I always put it on my Facebook and, you know, whatever I can do for you guys, if it's all in my control, I'll be able to do it for you guys.
Well, we appreciate that, and we appreciate your friendship and the fact that you're a stand-up guy. We talk all the time about the fighters that are really fighters, really committed to the program, but yet really grounded in their own self. And you're one of the lead people that we talk about all the time. So
thank you. I appreciate it.
You've got some real fans here on the West Coast.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Okay. All right, Peter, well, you take care of yourself. And again, we'll be watching on the 6th, and we know you have everything very confident that you have everything in hand. And we're looking for you to go 21-0 with 16 knockouts.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay.
All right, God bless.
Thank you.
Take care of yourself.
Bye now.
All right, that was Peter Kid Chocolate Quillen, certainly one of our favorite guests to have on the on the air.
Always a gentleman, always ready to go.
So, yeah, we love having him on. Like I said, you know, Butch, you know, like we said to him, he was 8-0 the very first time that we spoke with him. You know, I believe he was 8-0 with 8 knockouts at that point.
Look what he did for his career.
Exactly. 12 fights later, or now it'll be 13 fights later. He's undefeated. We've done a very good job.
Yeah, we did.
So we should be promoting the guy.
There we go.
No, I'm just kidding. And you know what? You hear him, you know, talk about, you know, anything you do for the show. I got to tell you that I've talked to him off the air.
Yeah.
And he's the same exact way.
Right.
You know, he's
right.
Very gracious. Tell me, give him a call anytime. He said, I don't care if it's 3:00 in the morning. You want to talk? Give me a call. He said, it may not be a pleasant conversation from me, but you can give me a call anyway.
Yeah.
So,
terrific person.
Yeah, absolutely. And well, Butch, we are about 2-3 minutes away from the end of the program. I want you to, you know, I just want to thank Peter Kid Chocolate Quillen for coming in.
Mm-hmm.
I want to thank you, Butch, for having me at the house to.
No problem.
You know, at my I guess it would be my
ancestral home. Home away from home.
Okay. Well, I didn't like that word you just said. But
no, it wasn't ancestral. It was ancestral.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks.
Got you. All right. And once again, we want to say we want to send our sympathies to the Condra family. Hopefully the dedication of this show to Bob worked out okay for the family. And of course, I want to say a big happy birthday. Hey, Kayla.
Will you join us here in the studio, please?
I'm pulling Kayla.
We're calling the lovely
Kayla.
Miss Kayla Marie is coming in.
Coming in.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday, Miss Kayla.
Go ahead.
I was trying to figure out how to finish that. We love you too.
Yeah, Kayla will be, she'll be 11 in next Friday night.
Yep.
So, and stay tuned. She may have a radio show on next
there you
Saturday
go.
Night. She may be hosting one with her friend. So
there you go.
We're holding out hope that she's going to do that. That'll be available on the. So,
okay.
Coach,
well,
I'll let you do your thing. And
we want to. This program again was dedicated to the in memory of Mr. Bob Condra. It's also dedicated to the men and women of the police and fire service in the United States Armed Forces by Dr. Casey Carroll of Broomingdale Psychiatric Associates. We want to say thank you very much to all our listeners and worldwide, and especially Ms. Kayla Marie, Mr. Trevor J., Mr. Ty Anthony, Mr. Brady Quinn, and, oh, silly Caden, Caden J. Carroll. We love you guys. It's from Uncle Bobby and Pop-Up, Uncle Tommy, and all the friends worldwide.
All right. Next week we will not be on the air, but we may possibly have the Kayla and what's her name?
Alexa
show. So if you want to tune in for that, but we will not be back next week. So from everyone here at Fightin' Words, have a good night.